Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, weavers and gamers alike. My name is Jared, and I will be your host here today at the Game Table Podcast. Today, we're looking at Loom, designed by Jason Harris, artwork by Ammon Anderson, and published by Moon Saga Workshop. Today, we're going to be sitting down with my lovely wife, Anna. We're also going to be sitting down with my oldest daughter, Faith, and we are going to be discussing Loom. Loom is a game that is all about putting together patterns as you weave the thread to make various loops, weaves, and color patterns. There is a strategic depth to this family weight game as you're playing your tiles, trying to decide how many to play on your turn and how many to save for later in the game. You're also having to decide which numbers go where, as only certain numbers can be played in certain spots. So let's sit at the table, and we will discuss. First, we'll talk to Anna, and we'll wrap it up with Faith. And that will be our episode for today. So, with that, let us discuss. I do want you to be aware that this episode is dropping during the Kickstarter campaign for Loom, along with two other games that will be tied into the campaign, Dragon Scrolls and Aya. Obviously, both of those are also being published by Moon Saga Workshop, so I will add a link in the description for that, and feel free to go over and check out their Kickstarter page as soon as you can. So we're here with Anna, and I'm going to get some of her thoughts on Loom, and then we'll talk with Faith here in a little bit. Anna, it has been full go as we got back from Tantrum Con and trying to catch up on school and work and everything else, and just feels like we're running from one thing to the next.
Oh, the sacrifices that we make to go play board games for 4 days.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
So today we have Loom, and I wanted to give some thoughts on that. And so, you know, later I'm going to be talking with Faith about how she kind of was drawn into the game at the exhibit hall, and then we were all kind of introduced. But I'm curious, as we got to playing it, what was something that stood out for you that really drew you into the game?
Yeah, I was first drawn into the game because I like a game with a good theme. In this game, you are weaving a loom. You're trying to make threads that crisscross over each other and form square patterns, and you're trying to make certain threads, certain colors, thread their way throughout the fabric that you're creating. So I like things that have a good theme. The amount of strategy in the game surprised me.
Yeah.
Though, I remember we sat down to play the first time and we were like, oh, this rule about playing a card that has to be either one higher or one lower than the card next to it gets really complicated when you're trying to fully connect a square and your last card has to connect with two other cards. So that was really fun to discover the strategy within the game. And yeah, that.
For sure.
Before we go on, what drew you to the game?
No, I mean, so initially, as we were kind of walking around the hall, I think Faith and I kind of both had the same initial reaction of, oh, pretty colors.
Oh, that's 100% what it is.
Because they've got these very bright, vibrant colors for the different threads. And I know nothing about, what is the genre of this? Because I don't think sewing is correct.
No, weaving.
Weaving. Okay. See, I don't even know. But for those of us uneducated, they use
weaving
very...
Weaving is done on a loom.
Things I didn't know.
The tool that is used.
I mean, I know I've seen it in action. The girls are doing it right now.
No, they're not.
But they have.
Oh, they're little potholders.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I don't mean literally right now, but I'm saying, anyways.
Yeah, but cloth is all woven. Like, your shirt?
Sure.
Has these tiny little squares where the threads all crisscross.
I understand that. I just didn't know the, like, official terminology. But.
All right. This game is educational for my husband.
Well, it is in a way because, like, it uses very simple terminology. So I'm like, I know I need to make loops. And then the loops, once they start to connect, make weaves. And you want to make certain color patterns. And I love how accessible a game can be to hear Anna talk about how it can be very like thematic and the way that you're weaving these things together. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to do this, this, and this. And we're both experiencing a theme, but from different ends of the spectrum. So that was one thing that drew me in.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I appreciated the theme and you appreciated the pretty colors. That's what we're boiling this down to.
If we want to boil it down, that's fine. Yes.
All right. Cool.
Great. So I agree. One other thing you mentioned about the amount of strategy that's involved.
Did it surprise you too?
It did. I was not, like, I was expecting some tactile play and needing to basically react to what my opponents were doing. But I feel like there was another level. There are multiple times that I feel like I tripped myself up in the way that I played. And it took me at least a couple of games before I was like, okay, I get it now. And it wasn't that the game itself is hard to learn. It's actually pretty easy to learn. But the actual knowing when to play what tiles and how many tiles to play, really, you kind of, it takes a few games, for at least for me, to really figure that out.
I don't think you should call them tiles, but anyway.
What, they are tiles?
No, they're threads.
But
they're cards, thread on them.
They're tiles.
Takes away from the theme if you call them tiles. That's all
oh
I'm saying.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I will agree that I think that the strategy can go deeper. So we played with our kids, yep. And you played solo.
Yep.
We played two-player and just...
We played lots of different ways.
Yeah. And the strategy, my first strategy was, oh, well, I just got to make sure I can play, you know, because, you know, you've got to play a card that's one higher, one lower. So I would try to make sure that I save some plays. But then I started to realize, oh, if I complete this square with one that's one higher and then one lower, it gives the opportunity for the last one to be placed by somebody and they can score a lot more points.
Sure.
So I really don't want to place that third card that I know is going to give the option for the fourth card to fit in there unless I can also play the fourth card, you know, unless I'm setting myself up for the future. If not, it's even better to play off where you're continuing the line, but maybe you've made it impossible to complete a square or circle.
Yeah, there is blocking.
So there's some interesting, things of even planning several turns ahead, not just to make sure that I could play, which is how I started playing the game, but to make sure that if I'm setting something up, I'm setting myself up and not somebody else.
That's right. Yeah, so, and I mean, there are times where knowing what your hand is, especially if you do a big play and then the next time you don't have very many tiles left, then you might play a blocking play where it doesn't get you any points, but it keeps someone else from being able to complete their own big set. Because basically the way it ends up falling, you can have a situation where because the tiles start touching on two ends, you can have a situation where it becomes impossible to play a tile in a certain space. And that adds to a level of, okay, well, do I slough one to save them from getting lots of points because I've got to kind of find good timing for my next play anyways. And there's nothing here that really works. We experienced that tonight where Faith creamed Joy and I before we recorded. And she did a couple of those where she was able to just kind of block people off.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cool aspect as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd say another thing that I liked about the game was it goes quick.
It does.
You're playing a full game. Oh, and it's pretty at the end. You got
it
a
is very pretty.
You got a pretty. Sorry, yeah. I just had to throw that in because I was just. And then at the end of the game, oh, it's so pretty. Yeah. You got all these rainbow threads in front of you, but the game doesn't seem to lag. You can play around pretty quickly, and it's done. I think the box says 20 to 30 minutes.
I think that's right.
And yeah, I'd say that's about right. Well, I mean, especially when we were playing with four people and I was helping the 5-year-old, that game definitely took a little bit longer. But yeah.
Yeah, but we got there.
Yeah.
We got there. Fun. One of the things that I liked, there's two, well, there's one variant and one little mini expansion associated with this game. The variant lets you choose what tile you draft next instead of just drawing off the top. So basically it lays out three tiles face up and lets you pick from one of those, or you could go draw from the top if you don't like any of those three. And we liked adding that almost immediately just to give a little bit more choice instead of just random draw right off the top of the deck. And then the mini expansion, it's a fun little expansion with buttons, which actually adds to the prettiness factor at the end of the game, because in the base, the weaves create little squares in between the tiles. And that leaves a little hole that it looks fine. But when you add the little buttons, it makes it look really cute. And so it also adds a little bit of, I don't know that it adds too much. That's, I think, the beauty of both of them, the variant and the expansion. It doesn't add a lot, But it also adds just enough to make it feel fresh. And I like that the buttons are really just a, you get to claim this, and also this is worth a point at the end of the game. So basically the way buttons work, whenever you complete a loom, or I'm sorry, a loop or a weave, then you add a button of your color to that spot. And then it is worth 1 point at the end of the game for each button. So that was a fun little ad. Well, really enjoyed that. I love when...
And it changes the gameplay a little bit.
It does.
Because, like in the example you were saying earlier, where sometimes it's equally beneficial to block somebody else.
Sure.
If you've got the added benefit... And you get points for the loops, for the weaves, and for continuous color lines.
Yep.
And so that just gives you a little bit of an extra boost to actually complete things as opposed to make the color lines or block somebody else.
Sure. Of course. For sure. Yeah. So that, is there anything about the game that you don't like? It's okay.
Yeah. I can't really think of anything that I outright disliked about the game.
Okay.
I thought it played really well. There's a little bit of randomness with the card draw,
sure.
But I mean, that's fine. I don't mind a little bit of randomness in my game. And I think there's enough strategy with other parts of it too. I have a weird, a weird thought, though. It's like so raw. Like, what would even happen with this? But so it's kind of like a microscope image of a piece of cloth.
Okay.
What you have on the cards.
Sure.
Because you can see the fibers that are twisted, yep, around. And obviously, you look at a piece of thread and you can't see the fibers on a piece of thread. And so that's why the loops and the squares, they look big on the board, because it's almost like you're doing this microscopic zoom-in image of a piece of woven cloth. And I don't know, I just think in my mind, it'd be fun at the end if you had an app and you could take a picture of what you made and it like zooms it out. And
this isn't even like a critique. This is just you need to add another expansion with an AI component.
Well, I don't know. It's just because that's a fun thing to imagine. Like, this is what this cloth would look like under a microscope. What would the whole piece of finished cloth look like? I don't know. I'm just rambling. I'm fine. I liked the game.
Do you like it?
There's not really,
you think you're good?
There's not really a lot of good critique. How about you?
The one thing I noticed from a gameplay perspective is that there were times where at least one player could kind of feel stuck. Not that it was impossible for them to play, but that it was really hard for them to put anything together. And that could kind of spiral into multiple rounds of them just feeling like there wasn't a lot. And I was kind of seeing that with Joy tonight, where she couldn't string anything together. And it was kind of weird because then towards the end of the game, it kind of fell into place for her and she scored a ton of points and was able to kind of climb back into it. And the score looked a lot closer than it actually was.
Mm.
But you could tell, like, Joy did not have a chance. And I don't know that it was even bad gameplay so much as she just... I mean, it can be... You mentioned it, bad card draw, but...
There's that aspect in a card drawing game.
But there's not always a way to get out of it in this game. Which is one thing that I would, at least that I've not figured out yet. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I do think I've seen it multiple times, and otherwise I don't know that I would have mentioned it. But again, I do think there are times where I've watched players like get a little bit stuck. And now it's not the end of the world. The game's not going to last very long, so you can just finish it up and start over. But that's the only critique that I've really found from a gameplay perspective. The tiles... great size. They sprawl, but they don't sprawl the table too much, so where you feel like you have to have a massive table. And I really enjoyed this one. This is one of those games where I saw it, I was like, it's going to be a family weight, but is there enough in here to keep gamers happy? And I think you and I would both agree that there is.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I like it.
Especially in a game that's only going to last 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I think that's a good weight for...
And it was
many different kinds of people.
It was a fun puzzle for solo as well. Mm-hmm. It was actually a fun way for me to figure out how to use my brain in this game. I stayed up one night and just played it solo a few times. And it plays a little bit differently than it does in the main game, but you still kind of get to feel out how the tiles work. And it's very easy to set up and whatever. And plays up to 5. You just throw in a few extra tiles at 5-player count. It makes it super easy. So... any other thoughts?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, with that, we'll head over and talk with Faith for a little bit of her thoughts about the game.
It really gets on my nerves you're calling them tiles.
They are tiles.
I need to see what they call them.
All right, so we're back here at the table with Faith. Faith, we're talking about Loom today. And so I thought it would be fun if you started by telling us how you were introduced to Loom, the game.
So I was walking around in the exhibit hall at Tantrum Con with Daddy, and I was making friends like I like to, and I found the Moon Saga table.
Okay.
And I found this game. I just felt really drawn to it because I felt like it's just so cool that you made a game that you can make a game that has to do with making real patterns. And it's got like the little threads. Okay. And you're trying to make different weaves or different. It's just so cool.
And you've been doing a lot of, you and Joy both have been doing a lot of threading and weaving and learning all about that sort of stuff right now, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. So, yep. And the guy from Moon Saga was so nice. He showed us how to play.
Yeah.
And I just felt really drawn to it. So I asked Dad if we could get one.
Nice. So would you say that you were drawn in by the vibrant colors of the game when you were first passing it in the hall?
When I was first passing at the hall, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's what drew me over to the table.
Okay.
But as he started teaching us the game, I sort of got John into the gameplay because I thought it was really cool that you were making these weaves and these loops, and I just thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So as we started playing the game, we went back to the apartment that first night that we got it and wanted to try it right away. You know, there's some, at least in my opinion, there's a little bit of a learning curve to start because learning how to match up the patterns with making sure the numbers fit in all the right spaces and stacking the colors, there's a little bit of a recalculating of the brain on my part. Is that something that you liked? Was there something about the game in particular after we started playing it, not just as a demo, but as a full game that you were really drawn in by?
No, I think I agree with your thought that it does have a lot of strategy in it. I think that it was the expansion
to the game.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the really fun part.
And we also added the advanced mechanic of drafting, an option to draft tiles, not just draw off the top of the pile, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you liked both of those?
I liked the buttons best. Okay. Those were really cool. I liked how they made the buttons so that it could fit in those little areas that you make the, what's it called?
The weaves and the loops?
The weaves and the loops. Yeah. Yes, so those can fit. And I also thought, since you got, like, now you have the buttons that give you one extra point at the end of the game.
Sure.
It adds, like, an extra 5-point boost into, it's like, there's already a battery in there, and I add, like, 5 more batteries in there. That's, like, a bunch more strategy.
Wow, okay.
Because you're trying to figure out, okay, if I'm able to play a button, I'll have to choose this tile, and I'll have to be able to place it here. But I also need to have a backup plan for this tile if somebody takes the spot. So it just adds like a bunch of strategy.
Well, I think too, it also adds a better look to the board. Instead of there being like holes where the weaves are and just an empty space where the loops, it adds an extra look with the buttons.
Yeah.
You would agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What about, you know, they have this rule in the game where you can play as many tiles as you want to as long as you're playing adjacent, but you're only drawing one extra tile at the end of each round. Did you find that hard to kind of figure out?
I did, because one of the times we played the game, I played my whole hand on round 2, being like, I'm going to get like 8 points from this,
sure,
but I'm going to have to play my whole hand. And then I only kept with 1 for the rest of the round.
Oh, no.
So it was really tricky.
Yep.
To be like, okay, if I play my whole hand now, am I going to need more tiles later?
Sure.
And I think that that rule also adds a lot of strategy to the game.
I think so.
I think, like, it's just, like, every single rule that's in there or every single expansion or whatever that's in there, like a weave or loom, you can only draw one more tile, the buttons. It just adds, like, a bunch of strategy every single time. So I think it's kind of more like a strategy game, and I really like those. So
nice.
This was one of my favorites.
That's awesome. So talking about the strategy piece, I found this game very interesting because I love games where you have some strategic options, but it's also accessible and very family friendly. Did you find this game easy to get into? I already told you, for me, it took a game or two to kind of change the way my brain thought to kind of really wrap my head around it. But then once I did, I felt like I could really get into it. And so I'm curious if you also felt like you learned the rules pretty quickly and the strategy, or did it take you some time?
Well, with this big smart brain up here.
Indeed.
I was able to learn the rules pretty quickly. And by the middle of our first game, I was like, I really get this. I'm going to start adding in some strategy. So, Brand, you better look out. Because I'm about to add in, like, I'm about to give you, like, full force of a bunch of strategy. And you got to work it out. But, yeah. So, halfway through the game, I started adding my strategy and being like, okay, now this is the tile I want to play, but if I have to play my whole hand, if I draw this tile, I don't want that to happen. So I won't draw this tile. I'll draw this different tile that can go two places, and if somebody takes one, then I can always just put it the other space. That's when I started adding it around halfway through the game.
Nice. Very cool.
So I learned the rules pretty quickly.
Love
that. And yeah.
Okay. And this was one of your favorite ones from TantrumCon.
It was, yes.
Okay. Do you think that you would recommend this to other friends your age or Joy's age?
Yes, actually. It was really, really cool to see Joy, who's 7, and Hope, who's 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the age rating, 8+. I'm always like, whenever we review games, kids' games, I'm like, why is this rated 8+? We have a 5-year-old that caught on to it.
Well,
like, so
that's
good.
Always complicated.
But
yeah.
Yeah, it was easy to pick up.
Okay.
I think if you have kids that enjoy strategy, this is definitely a good kids' game.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say that if there was a kid around your age that liked board games, but their parents really didn't know a whole lot about board games, do you think that the parents could pick up a game like this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think that parents could pick up a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think parents could pick up a game pretty quickly. I mean, like, Daddy picked it up pretty quickly. Well, Mom also did too.
Well, Mom's very smart and wins all the time, so that is what it is.
Okay. But still, true. I know you haven't played a lot of strategy games.
Only one or two.
I know.
So, any other thoughts on Loom before we let you go?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, Faye, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll wrap up this review.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, big thank you to Anna and Faith for joining me at the table today. And a reminder once again, the Kickstarter campaign is currently going on for Loom, as well as Dragon Scrolls and Aya. If this game interested you, based on our thoughts or just getting a quick look at it, I would encourage you to go and check that out. If you have thoughts on the game, want to give us any of your feedback, we'd love to hear from you. There's all kinds of links in the description about how to do that, whether it's through email, socials, website, things of that nature. We would absolutely love to hear from you. I'll take criticism. I'll take feedback. I'll take your thoughts on the game. Anything you want to share, tell me what you're eating today. I would love to hear from you. You can also comment in the section below if you're on YouTube. And as a reminder, 5-star reviews, thumbs up, likes, subscribing, all the good things to be able to participate in supporting your favorite channels here in 2026 are greatly appreciated and very helpful. I want to also say thank you to Ashley McCaffrey for our logo, for Anna Snyder whenever we add in the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. We encourage you to join us next week as we head over to the feature table, where Ian and I discuss Tend, the massive, crazy roll-and-write game from Ivy Studios. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.